I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yes, it is the morning of the NBA draft lottery. Will happen tonight. We've been waiting for this for a long time. Take a break from our Knicks positivity to talk to one of the greats of all time, baseball's Iron Man, Hall of Famer, Cal Ripken Jr., who is in studio with us. And he's got a new book out called Just Show Up. And no scandalous stories in this one about teammates and stuff like that. You don't have any of that, Cal, right?
No.
All right. Just making sure, because that's the trend these days, you know?
Does that mean it's not going to sell?
No, it'll sell because it's you, man, because it's you. And people need to know that just showing up and being there is very, very important. So it's great to have you back in today. And what was the impetus behind the book and wanting to write this one?
Well, it's interesting. I had a long career, but you retire still with a long career at 41. And I always planned for doing something afterwards. And business always was interesting to me. And so you could take some of the principles you learned in sport and try to apply it to business. So in my life, I don't know if you fully know, I have the kids side of the business, which is we've become the leading youth baseball organization where we have thousands of kids come through for tournaments. And there's also a foundation that was formed in the name of my dad that has been extremely successful. It goes nationwide. We serve over a million kids a year in that capacity. And I think along the way, when you start doing this and having success in it, of course you have some failures and setbacks, but you learn a lot of lessons. And so what's interesting is that a lot of people talk in a sports vernacular when they're trying to make a point in business. And then so to me, it's pretty easy to kind of go back and forth between business and sports. And I just wanted to write the book to help share some of the things that I've learned along the way.
You know, it's kind of interesting. A lot of athletes will say, you know, Boomer, how come your foundation is as successful as it is and effective as it is? And I say, because I show up. My name is on the door. And that's that's why I like the name of your book, the title of your book, Just Show Up. It is about showing up. It is about putting your face and plus oppression the flesh and making sure people know that you have a personal investment into what you're doing.
Well, a lot of times you look at, especially foundations, the athletes put a foundation out there and they're not really a part of it. Somebody else is running it, or they have family members that actually are getting paid through it. So it kind of gives the foundation world a bad name. But we started the foundation in my father's name, the Cal Ripken Senior Foundation. Some people get confused a little bit, and it has the value of the same name. Mm-hmm. But you're right, Boomer, is that if you don't care, if you don't show up and you're not putting in your time and you're not there to represent in different events or just to communicate the message of why it's important, then people won't care either. So I think I can use your Just Show Up. I didn't make that connection for the foundation in that way.
But it is, though. But it is. You have to be invested. I don't care what anybody says. You know, there's two words that I want to throw at you because you are the Iron Man. Those are two words that, you know, reflect who you are as a player and how you went about your business. The other two words are load management. Do you know what load management is?
In a clinical sense, and I'm talking to my son about hitting right now, yeah. A load means going backwards to get ready to come forward.
Right. Well,
load management. No, I don't know if I can
define NBA, that. It's an NBA term for the minutes restrictions for star players. So a guy might sit out a day, and the coach will say it's because of load management.
Well, they also do it in baseball, too, where they basically say this Sunday – everybody's off. No matter, we could be in the midst of a 5-game losing streak. Mickey Callaway's given half the Met roster off on a Sunday.
Well, I mean, there is such a thing as managing your roster so they stay healthy. In baseball, there's a 162-game schedule. But I would say that,
like, you played at every one of them.
I know, but I mean, I would say that I don't know.
I mean, Eli Manning hasn't missed a – well, he missed a start, but it wasn't due to injury. I mean, he shows up every single game. Tom Brady shows up every single game. I mean, Drew Brees shows up every single game.
So if there's a
why
way –
why can't everybody play every game?
If there was a way to measure – like, I would say that whether you play 140 games a year or 162 –
No, you played 162 games every year. I want to know why somebody else can't do that.
It's a mindset. I think some organizations in baseball feel that they can almost predict injuries.
Can you wrap your head around all this analytics stuff and everything else? I mean, coming from where you came from?
I'm very analytical, so I like the analysis.
Yeah.
The trick is, what do you apply? What do you use from that? Instead of just overwhelming the athlete or making them a robot to say, play here, play there, how can you give them some information that they can process in the course of a game that they can make better decisions?
You think there's a guy that stands in the hallway outside the dugout and yells, "Hey, Skip!" and tells him what to do, betting on analytics and everything else in the middle of a game? Or do you think the managers still have some effect on the game?
I think that's an extreme example of the direction coming down from upstairs. And I think that's happening more and more, is that they want to make the lineups out. They want to choose based on stats. And there's all this intangible value that a manager has sitting in the dugout. And I hope that the manager still has some leeway. But if you're being interviewed for a managing job right now and they ask you, what do you think about a suggestion coming from the top every once in a while,
yeah,
you should say, I'm open to it.
Yeah, sure.
Otherwise, you won't get hired.
Never
right?
Get the job. Which is amazing. We're talking to the great Cal Ripken. How would, I don't know, Earl Weaver or Cal Ripken Sr. go? How would that go over with those guys?
I just did this charity thing with Lou Piniella, and Lou Piniella's standing there, and he's going off. Like, it's a one-man show. He goes, I don't know what the hell they're talking about, these cyber metrics and a launch angle, my ass, you know? And as he's doing this thing, I'm thinking, this guy's never going to exist again in Major League Baseball. I mean, that's sad, isn't it? I mean, isn't a manager with an opinion
and a personality
and a little bit of edge like that, I mean, that means something to a baseball team.
I hope. My dad used to say that things run in cycles. And I hope that this whole analysis will actually not burn itself out, but it'll be realized is that you can't play that way overall. I mean, you can take data in, and information is really important, but then you have to choose what to use it with. And those intangible values, like Earl and Lou, are really valuable from a motivational standpoint to try to get back in the game. Sometimes a hunch, batting a left-hander against a left-hander because he has a really good changeup, might be the right pinch-hitting move, and it might not be statistically supported. Or how about just a guy that gets hot? You know, and he's
that's the thing that drives me crazy.
And then they take him out.
We got a guy gets three hits on Friday, three more hits on Saturday and Sunday. You know, somebody in the analytics department is telling me that you need the day off. And you know, it was great because Terry Collins was on FS1. I don't know if you saw this interview a couple weeks ago. And he basically said that the lineup is filled out. And I don't want to go tell, you know, Frank Thomas or Cal Ripken that you're not playing today because somebody upstairs says you need a day off.
It's interesting when you're talking about somebody getting hot. My dad used to encourage me. He goes, don't take a day off. You know, don't take that sunny day off because the guy that replaces you, what if he gets three hits? He said, guess who's playing tomorrow? And so don't give that guy a chance to get three hits. But, yeah, they don't take into consideration. When I was hot, you feel like you can hit anybody, Nolan Ryan or Roger Clemens or Randy Johnson. You just feel like you have a really good chance. When you're not hot, you know, you're trying to make an adjustment and you feel like you can't hit, you know, the guy that's struggling the most, you know, all of a sudden he comes out and you go, why can't I get a hit off of him? So there is an ebb and flow of confidence that you need to notice as a manager and kind of keep that going.
Talking to Hall of Famer Cal Ripken Jr., this is a question that nobody really has a great answer on, but I want to get your opinion on it. Why is it that guys in your era, not that guys didn't get hurt, but guy in your era can play every single game, and now we're seeing the best of the best. The Yankees, for example, you know, Giancarlo Stanton, bicep. Aaron Judge, he's got an oblique. There's so many muscle pulls. And then the pitchers as well. A guy in the 60s could throw 170 pitches and every single time out, complete game after complete game. And now you got guys, Tommy John surgery here, rotator cuff there. Why is the fragility of today's baseball player, when the science and the training and everything is at an all-time high, why is that?
I'm not sure about the pitching side of that, why someone can't go out and throw 150, 170 pitches. I think because they're not conditioned to do that. And there's a sort of an all-out mentality is that give me everything you got for as long as you got it, and then I'll bring somebody in the bullpen that can do the same thing. From a hitter perspective, though, I think the big change that's occurred is you have better indoor facilities now at the stadiums. And people come to the ballpark earlier. They eat three meals a day in the ballpark. And they have a routine where they're hitting in the cage multiple times before batting practice even starts. Then they have a refresher before the game starts. The amount of reps that you're torquing, that you're putting on the hitter, I don't think in combination with all the extra weight work and core work that you're doing, it starts to fatigue your muscles, and at one point it's going to give. And so I think there is such a thing as over swinging or doing too much work, and I think that's the mentality. There's an obsessive sort of feeling about hitting in particular that I need to get my swings, I need to get my swings. And if you add up all the swings, that's a heck of a lot of swings that your body really can't hold up to for the long season.
So if you're going to consult a major league team like the Yankees, who's gone through so many of these muscle pulls and different things, you would say, let's just scale back some of these reps, because I think that's the wear and tear is getting to these guys.
I start to look at the routines, because you got to sell it first to the player. Mm-hmm. You got to look at the routines, what works for them. You know, if they're used to having that many swings and to feel like they're ready for those four at-bats, then you're going to have to work backwards to convince them that sometimes it's better not to take batting practice at all. Mm. You know, we used to, I guess it was called show and go. Like if you were really struggling and everyone was putting pressure on themselves and all that kind of stuff, instead of going through the frustration of batting practice, they would just say, okay, we're going to show and go. Everybody arrive at the ballpark by this time, just put your uniforms on, let's go play. And amazingly, things would happen. You know, I think the expectations would go down a little bit. You stay within yourself. So, yeah, I would look to try to find ways to cut back a little bit. But you got to convince the players that, it's in their best interest.
Aren't the Rays doing something kind of unique with their batting practice situation? I heard John and Susan talking about the other day that there's something that they're doing with their batting practice situation. I'm looking for it here online. I can't find it. But that they're not doing what you guys used to do. Like, you know, they don't practice football the way they used to practice when I played. You know, mm-hmm. We had pads on every day and we were hitting, and we had 5 weeks of two-a-days or 6 weeks, and there were 9 weeks for the generation before me. Mm-hmm. You know, so things are basically, you know, that whole aspect of the game has dissipated. I would think that because of all of the analytics, all the numbers, all the algorithms, all these guys coming out of Harvard and MIT that are baseball Stratomatic fanatics, they are having a profound effect on the game of baseball and the players.
Some things you only learn by doing it. You know, you can't learn by just looking at numbers and stats. And how many swings you need to get ready for a game is very much a personal thing. So you got to go through it, and you got to feel how your body responds from a night game after a day game. You have to learn yourself. And I think sometimes right now the athlete in the big leagues – doesn't learn themselves enough, and the answer is more swinging so I can get ready.
Have you ever gone through anything that like Chris Davis had gone through earlier this season? Huh. You know, just the hitless streak. And I remember, I think you were a part of a team that got off to a really bad start in Baltimore.
I'm glad you forgot.
No, but the reason I remember it, the reason I remember it is because I remember the more you lost, the more fans showed up at your stadium.
Right.
And they were cheering you guys on to try and win. Mm-hmm. It was like an amazing thing in sports. I had never seen it before. That's one of the reasons why I wonder, had you been ever through anything quite like Chris Davis had been through to start this season?
Well, from a team standpoint, the 0-21 start, you know, every time any sports team gets off to an 0-something start, you know, if it gets into it a little bit, we start to get mentioned. That was the worst experience anyone could go through, because you got all the attention that normally you would get. You'd be reserved for doing good things. You got it for doing bad things. In my rookie year, I was 3-for-5 opening day, and then I went 4 for my next 63. And so it feels like – so if you add it up, the numbers weren't too dissimilar to Chris Davis. And at that point, everybody's telling you how to hit. Your bat boy's telling you why you're taking the first pitch down the middle. And all your friends and all your relatives are trying to offer an opinion. And sometimes you just have to sift out, you know, who has valuable opinions and don't, who don't. And I will tell you another story that that halfway through my career – I felt like I lost the ability to hit. All of a sudden, you felt like things, you just couldn't fix things. And Frank Robinson pulled me aside, and he said, you know, that happened to me in my career. I thought at 30 years old, because you don't know when your talent goes. I thought I was finished. And he said, and I went on to have some of my better years. And the stature of Frank Robinson telling me that gave me a chance to just work back through it again. And so I don't know if there was anybody there that could tell Chris Davis, who's hit 50 home runs in a year, you know, that this is going to be okay. And, you know, with some credibility, and I think Frank Robinson definitely could have helped him.
I mean, to his credit, you know, he, you know, and I watched every single interview. I mean, he get a little gnarly every now and again, but for the most part, I mean, he stood there, he's answered questions and everything. He's starting to come out of it. He's starting to hit some home runs and things of that nature again for them. Hopefully not at Yankee Stadium this week.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. That's got to be just, especially with the amount of money he's making and the investment that they have in him. And I would imagine if you were an Oriole fan, you're thinking that contract may have cost you Manny Machado.
Well, I think if you do look back, is that the Orioles have been reactive at times, and then the pressure to sign him, was there enormous, at that moment. But if you take a step back and say, okay, we have a franchise player in Manny Machado, and I don't know whether they decided that they couldn't sign him or not, but it would be time to start to plan on how you could sign him up for long term, because he's somebody you've already invested dollars in through the minor leagues, and he's produced at all-star levels, the big leagues, and he's still really, really young.
What kind of guy was he in Baltimore? I mean, because, you know, we have this preconceived notion of what he's like. You know, some of the things that he pulled in the playoffs last year for the Dodgers, stepping on this guy and flipping the bat and yelling at somebody. I mean, what kind of guy is he really?
I found him to be really good. I had a chance to talk to him a little bit, and because he's a larger shortstop when he was through the minor leagues, and we kind of connected, because you couldn't look at other shortstops in the league and say, okay, I need to model myself after them. Almost you had to figure out how to do it yourself at your size. There's enough guys now in the big leagues that you can talk to that you could say, okay, how do you make that slow hit ball in the hole? Because as a bigger guy, you can't round it, and you can't cover much ground with your legs. You got to make it up with a backhand and the strength of your arm. But so we had good conversations about that. I always found him to be a good guy, good-hearted. I don't know. I don't think he intentionally does those things to like hitting Dustin Pedroia on a double play.
Right.
I think if there was one improvement Manny could make is that he would start to look at what the situation is. And so when you're running from first to second base, you know whether I got a chance to break up a double play or I don't. And if the guy bobbles the ball, or if there's a fast guy behind you, there's chances are I can't break the double play up, so just slide into the base. So sometimes I think he puts himself in a situation that could result in a negative outcome, or even kicking the guy at first base. I mean, I've jumped at first base my whole life, and I wasn't very fast. And you get so desperate when you run to first base and saying, okay, I got to get there. And the worst thing you could do is jump. But it seems like your stride wasn't there. And when you jump, your left leg drags.
I don't know about that.
And you kick a first baseman every once in a while.
Come on. I can't believe that. But I will say this. Are you available to tutor Ahmed Rosario?
Yeah.
That would be nice, right?
Yeah. How many calls do you get from organizations that want to talk to a young shortstop? Like, hey, you know, why don't you give this guy a couple of words of advice? Does that happen a lot?
I think I'm gone. I've been gone from the game too long to get those calls anymore. So
still, come on. You're Cal Ripken Jr. for
I'll tell him, you know, well, I was planning on going out on the boat today.
He's done. Smart man.
He's done. Yeah, smart man. All right, Just Show Up is the new book by Cal Ripken Jr., Other Enduring Values from Baseball's Iron Man. It always is a pleasure to have you in. Best of luck with the book, and hopefully you bring us some luck tonight. We need it. For
you're
Zion
a basketball
Williamson.
Guy. What do you think? You think Zion Williamson should be the number one pick or what?
Yeah, I think if I had the pick, no matter which team, I would draft him. There's some players that come along that are that sort of special that, and you don't know fully how he's going to develop. I mean, when LeBron came along, you knew you had something really, really special. Clearly the number one pick. But I don't think you knew that he was going to be as great, you know, all around as he is. He could just make any team better just by being on that on the court.
And he's going to be a New York Knick, Cal. I'm telling you right now. It's going
to
happen.
I was sitting over there listening to you. I'm pulling for you.
No, thank you. See, look at that. See,
this is Cal Ripken pulling for you now.
This is
that's
the
good.
Positive energy that we need. It's a pleasure to have you,
man,
in, Cal.
My great pleasure. To see you, Cal, man.
Cal Ripken Jr. on The Fan, Boomer and Geo, also CBS Sports Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.